So now you have the news. It's confirmed.
It's confirmed. And when my doctor called me at work, she asked me, she said, well, do you want to come in the office and I give you the results? And she didn't sound, I could tell in the tone of her voice that it wasn't good news. So I said, just tell me now.
Yeah, no, girl, just spill it. Right. You're already on the phone. I mean, what? Yeah. Who was with you when you got the news?
No one. I was sitting at my desk by myself in my office.
Would you care to walk us through that? How did that, I mean, what was running through your head?
Well, I sat there for a minute and I gathered my composure because I'm not the one that just start crying right away.
Right.
So it was a lot of things going through my mind.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'm not ready to die.
That's a good thought.
That's the first thing that you think about. You know, you don't know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. You don't know what all you have to go through to get through this. And so, I mean, it was just so much going through my mind that I knew that I had to kind of tell somebody, let somebody know.
Right, so I couldn't
do this alone.
Say that again, please. Please say that last, those last few words again. That is, it's so important.
I had to tell somebody had to let somebody know that this is what the news was I couldn't work. I couldn't function. I had no family there, and I didn't want to tell my family right away.
Mm.
So I went to my supervisor, and I called her in there, and some of my coworkers. I told them, and I was strong. I'm just like I am now.
Right.
I said, you know, I got the news, and this is what it is. And when they embraced me,
that's when it hit. Yeah, it's always them damn hugs. I mean, they'll break you down.
Then I couldn't stop crying the whole day at work. I could not stop. So, she took me into the coffee room. Oh, actually, we were eating lunch, and she came in and expressed her condolences. I mean, not her condolences, but her concern,
right.
And offered, you know, to try to console me and that, but I was boohooing and people were walking in, co-workers were walking in and they were trying to, you know, they were concerned and wondering why I was crying. And
right.
And it was an emotional moment.
Right.
But I got through the day.
Okay.
And I came home and that's when I let DeMarie know. He was the first one that I told.
Okay.
And I started calling, making a few phone calls. And knowing that this is what I have to deal with now.
Well, and that's the thing. It was knowing that this is something that we had to deal with because he called me soon after.
He did. I didn't know that.
He sure did.
Oh, because he wasn't taking it very good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. So just know that from the very beginning, you were not alone.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So.
So, well, and that's when the journey began. Well, actually, after that, then that next week, I got the news that it was in my lymph nodes. Now, that's when I broke down coming home.
Because now from there, it can go anywhere, right?
Anywhere.
Mm.
Yeah. That was bad news.
That's.
And when I came in, I was crying. Driving home, I was crying. And DeMarie said, what's wrong? And I said, DeMarie, I got the news that it's now in my lymph nodes. And that scared me because now I said, it could be anywhere. It could go anywhere. It could be anywhere in my body. It could go to my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just boohooing all that evening, just crying. And I know that didn't make him feel good, but I knew that we had to deal with this.
You had to. And seriously, the boohooing is the best place to start.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've got to let all that out so you can think clearly. I mean, how many times have you been in an argument or something just bowled you over with the emotion and you didn't cry and you acted on that? It was a disaster compared to the time where you just broke down and let it all out and then you bucked up and just dealt with it. I mean,
and you know, and I'm not the one that will break down. It's hard for me to cry. I can't cry right then and there.
Right.
Because I'm dealing with the emotions and I'm not one to just break down and cry.
Right.
I don't do that anymore.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Right.
But my son, DeMarie, he will cry at the drop. He will cry at a movie.
That's me. Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
Now, I cried a lot while I was carrying him.
Right.
But I don't cry instantly right. now. But he will cry. I can just talk to him. Well, used to, not right, now. Cause right. I used to sit down and talk to him, give him pep talks and get on his case. And
right.
he would just cry. He would right. just sit there and cry
right.
the whole
right.
time.
Right.
Even looking at a movie,
right.
you know, if it's sad, he will be boohooing. Yeah. He will start crying. Yeah. He cries at the boss comes to your job to they don't know it's your boss. What's the name of that series?
Oh my God, I don't know. I don't watch reality TV. I don't know.
I can't remember. But anyway, they don't know it's the boss. And they come and look at all the production and what's going on with the company and the employees.
Ooh.
I think it's on OWN, Oprah okay, show.
Yeah,
I mean, and so he cries at that when the boss comes in and tell him that he's the boss and he's doing all this stuff for them. He's giving them all this money and, you know, sending them to school if that's what they want to do.
And
Jamari is crying on that. He's very emotional, but he's always been an emotional child. But
right.
anyway, so when I came in that day, right. He knew. We just hugged and, you know, we talked. I said, you know, whatever happens, we just have to get through this, whatever right. it takes.
To have someone in your corner like that, tears and all.
Because he was the only one. Yeah. He was here. He took me to my doctor's appointments. Yeah. He came in and consoled me. Thank God he was here because he was the one that I had to really rely on. Yeah. Gerald was here, but, you know, he was in and out, going to work and doing stuff and not really getting involved in right. the real nitty gritty of this illness.
Because some people can't do that.
Yeah, and he's one that can't do that.
Right.
He can't really get involved in that. Right. But Damari was right there.
Yeah.
He was right there by my side.
That's good.
All the way.
Yeah.
Doctor's appointments, in with taking notes with the doctor.
You need someone there.
Yeah, and my cousin Sonia, she was there too. Okay. So she came to every doctor appointment with me.
Wow, that's good.
Taking notes, asking questions. Right.
I mean, because with all this going on in your body, your brain can't. I can't imagine someone going through this alone with all the questions and actually thinking the questions and asking them is two different things. So you need someone there who's thinking clearly and who isn't so emotional. You know, my mother had that brief scare with cancer, and my cousin, who is one who is estranged from the family, mm-hmm. I was like, can you go with her? Mm-hmm. And so, because I wasn't there, I was in California, but my cousin went with her, and she was the clear-headed one because someone needs to be clear-headed.
Absolutely.
When the person who was experiencing all this
Absolutely.
Is not. They're just emotional.
And that's why they tell you to take someone to the doctor with you, because you can't take all that
and ask questions.
And ask questions.
What is this?
Yes, you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah,
you just cannot do it.
So,
something as serious as that, you cannot do it.
And people try to do that alone, and I would just encourage all those who are listening, you don't have to do it alone. First of all, there are people who you know and people who you don't know who are willing to support you and help you get through this. I mean, these experiences aren't for us to go through alone. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they are. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm even sitting here with Joycelyn Maddox, is to get her story and to hopefully reach people like you who may be contemplating going through this alone. Just know you don't have to.
Well, it's not that they don't have to, Marlon. Some people choose to go through it alone.
Yeah.
Some people, I know so many people that choose to not say anything to their family. They choose to, and they choose to not verbalize it and let anyone know that they have to go through this or that, you know, what the diagnosis is and what the prognosis is and what the treatment is.
Right.
They prefer, I know a lot of people that went through it by themselves. And I know some people that didn't talk to their family and loved ones about it and passed away without them knowing that they even had
and
disease.
And see, that's the...
I have a cousin that did that.
Wow.
Didn't tell us she was sick. We didn't know. And we were informed when she was in the hospital and had little time to live.
Wow.
That's when we found out, when we got to the hospital, she had passed away.
And to people who fall into that category, know that you not talking about it and you not letting people in, that's only making your case worse. I mean, because you have to be free of stress in order for your immune system to battle this.
Yes.
And you can't be free of stress if you're holding all this horrible news into yourself.
Yes.
It's virtually impossible.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yes.
Wow.